We're going to start with a somewhat lengthy little illustration here this morning from Andrew Leland. And it's a reminder that struggle, the Lord actually can use struggle for his glory. So if you're going through struggle, I'm not trying to minimize your struggle at all this morning, okay? But I want you to know that maybe the Lord has something even in that, that he's going to make his name great. Andrew Leland, he says, as a young adult writer, Andrew Leland was diagnosed with a rare disorder that caused him to become blind. In a New York article, he notes that throughout history, people have either bullied or coddled visually impaired people. But he gives an example of one school that empowers the blind by challenging them to achieve new heights of independence. Leland writes, in 2020, I heard about a residential training school called the Colorado Center for the Blind in Littleton. The CCB is part of the National Federation of the Blind and is staffed almost entirely by blind people. Students live there for several months, wearing eye-covering shades and learning to navigate the world without sight. The NFB takes a radical approach to cultivating blind independence. Students use power saws in a wood shop. They take whitewater rafting trips. They go skiing. To graduate, they have to produce professional documents and cook a meal for 60 people. The most notorious test is the independent drop. A student is driven in circles, then dropped off at a mystery location in Denver without a smartphone. Sometimes advanced students are left in the middle of a park or the upper level of a parking garage. Then the student has to find their way back to the Colorado Center, and he or she is allowed to ask one person one question along the way. A member of an RP support group told me, people come back from those programs loaded for bear. In other words, ready to hunt the big game of blindness. Katie Carmack, a social worker with RP, told me of her time there. It was an epiphany. Amen. Man, if I dropped my smartphone and I had to drive someplace else, it's over, people. Come get me. You guys recognize that whenever sometimes we go through the struggle, it's the struggle that develops us and helps us become what the Lord would have us to be, right? So again, I'm not trying to minimize your struggle. Some of you are in intense struggle. But as I'm thinking about my friends today who are suffering, and I just want to be reminded that sometimes the Lord is taking us through that because he's making us stronger in the way that he would have us to be. Today, more than anything, when you walk out the door, what I want you to take with you today is that even in your suffering, the Lord knows you. He knows what you need. And here's the last thing, the most important. He is more than enough. Yes. All right? He is more than enough. All right, let's look our way through a little bit of this passage today just to get hopefully a simple idea. And again, I'm hoping the Lord will speak to you as we work our way through it. First, I want you to see the revelation. Paul gives a revelation that he received in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So let's look there, and we're going to go verses 1 through 5. The Bible says, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. Verse 3, and I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. And he heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. You guys remember who the author of this book is, right? Okay. I want you to think with me just a little bit, okay? When Paul first came to the Lord, his coming was an incredible moment, right? You remember what he was doing right before the Lord appeared? If you look in the book of Acts, you'll see that Peter is preaching. 3,000 people get saved. The church is exploding in Jerusalem. But there's a guy who's a deacon. His name is Stephen. And Stephen is trying to tell the story of Jesus through the history of Israel. And the Israelites that are listening, they would have no part of it. And so they go and they take off their cloaks and their coats and their outer garments, and they lay them at the feet of this guy named Saul, who is Paul here, pick up stones, and they kill Stephen for the truth that he was preaching. That's who this guy was. He's making his way down the Damascus Road, and he is looking for Christians to persecute and destroy, and then all of a sudden he gets hit with a light. The light blinds him. He hears the voice of Jesus. Can you imagine? Right? If anything is going to get your attention, you're doing this, your intent, you're focused. I'm going to do this. I'm protecting Yahweh's name. I'm on a journey. I'm getting rid of these bad Christians and laying them out here. And then all of a sudden you're hit with a light, you're blinded, and you hear the voice of Jesus. And he says, Saul, Saul, why do you kick against the goads or the pricks? Why are you fighting against me? And his whole life does a 180. All right. He has a revelation directly from Jesus. Now, not all of us get that, right? I've never had that. But Saul got that, and it changed him from Saul to Paul, and it changed his life. Well, he goes and he starts doing these missionary trips, and he starts planting churches all around what we would kind of call the Middle East, Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica. And as he's making around his rounds of these places, he's starting to build up these churches. And one of them's at a place called Corinth. And if you look at Corinth, they're known for having quite a few problems. They'd be a good American church. They have a lot of issues. And one of their issues eventually was other people were coming in and saying, you can't trust this Paul guy. I know he started here with this message about Jesus, but you need to listen to us. We have more information than he has. And so he's having to defend himself and defend who he is. And to do that, he's kind of defending his apostleship. And so we get to this chapter 12 in verses first paragraph, where Paul is trying to, in kind of a polite way, to say, I have authority. I've had an encounter with the Lord. And you'll notice even how he says it. He says he had a revelation. Again, I told with you that he saw Christ. He also saw a vision of Ananias who would come and the scales would be taken off Paul's eyes. He saw in a vision a man from Macedonia. After his arrest in Jerusalem, he was encouraged there by an angel. And in my devotions not too long ago, he was caught in the middle of a storm and an angel appeared to him there. And so what he's trying to say in the politest of ways is, I've been walking with the Lord and I've encountered him. And so he kind of shares this story. I know a man. Have you ever talked like that? Well, I know somebody who's done this or that, right? And you're referring about what? Your own experience, okay? And that's exactly what he's doing here. I know a person, I know a man, he's talking about himself. And so he goes into a revelation that he had 14 years earlier, and he basically says, I went to heaven, but he cannot say whether he was just there in his spirit or it was more than that. He says, I don't know, only God knows. And he heard things that he couldn't repeat because he was in the presence of the Almighty. Now, I want to share with you this a little bit this morning. Do you think that was an encouragement to him in the rest of his ministry? If you had heard the voice of Jesus and you came across a bad day, you could always go back to that day that you heard Jesus. Amen? Now, I want you to hang in there with me. That's going to be a real important thing here in just a second. He knew in his spirit who the Lord was and what was in store. And he goes, he says, I could glory about this, right? I mean, Paul has literally seen people raised from the dead. Anybody here have done that lately? Right? I mean, if he wanted to boast, if he wanted to brag, if he wanted to say, hey, I am the guy. I've been healing people. I've been on a ship with over 200 people, and I promised them that not a single person would die, even though the whole ship would be scattered and wrecked. And it happened exactly as I said that it would. You need to listen to me. But he didn't take that approach, did he? He didn't say, I want to glory in my boastings about who I am and what God is. I want to glory in this is really hard. He wants to glory in his suffering. I don't like that. Do you like that? That idea, that phrase is just so hard. And here's what I want to take with you this morning. I think some of you, this should be a help to you. It's been a help to me already. Paul was given a great blessing to help him overcome some great suffering. As a matter of fact, there'd be 14 years worth of suffering. So here's my question for you this morning. I want you to think with me. What blessings has the Lord given to you that would help you overcome great suffering? Anybody here been blessed by the Lord? Yeah. See, I'm waiting for some of you to stand up and start dancing, running around the pews, right? I mean, seriously, right? Have we been blessed? Oh, how much time you got, right? My heritage. I can't believe the heritage God gave me. A grandpa that loved him, a grandma that loved him. My dad, who's just an electrician, but decided that he would lead us to be spiritual young men. My mom, give her life for any person in the world. All the different experiences where I've been able to encounter God's word throughout. I've been like crazy blessed by God. And so, yeah, suffering's going to come, but guess what? The Lord's already showed me, don't you remember? I got you, Travis. I'm enough. I've proven it enough times that I am with you, okay? How about you today? You don't have to answer out loud, but I want you to kind of process that question just a little bit. Where have you been in your life where the Lord has showed himself to you? And today, let me say this carefully. If you're not sure that you've ever ran into the Lord, you may be really struggling in suffering. And I want to say that there's hope when we lean on the Lord. We're going to get to more of that in just a second. All right, so this is Paul's revelation. Again, we're not going to go into great detail about the levels of heaven and the theology behind those things, but I just want you to see that I think the great blessing was given to help him through his great suffering. So let's look at the suffering down in verse 6, the infirmity. So we've seen the revelation. Let's look at the infirmity. And Paul there, he says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. And to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Here, let's take this thought to heart this morning. A fool boasts in their strength, but a wise person boasts in the Lord's strength. Sometimes we want to boast in our strength a little bit, don't we? Hey, look what I did. This is who I am. This is who I can be. And the reminder here from Paul, again, Paul wrote most of the New Testament, quite a bit of it, right? All the things I just told you that he accomplished, and there's so many more. And this truth is coming through that we need to boast in the Lord. And so Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn? Miss Ida, you know what the thorn was? I don't think she does. Diane, you know what the thorn was? Missy, you know what the thorn was? I don't know. And I think the Lord did that on purpose. Because if the Lord had told us what the thorn was, we would have said, oh, see, it was that. I don't have that problem. I got something much worse than Paul has. Right? But by not revealing the thorn, then it makes it really applicable to all of us, doesn't it, today, right? What's the thorn? And this is what's so hard. I just want to sit down and cry with some of you today. God, why have you let this come to me? I don't get it. And I don't know what Paul's thorn was. It could have been one of his coworkers that he invested so much in, and that coworker abandoned him. Some people have said it could have been his eyesight was so bad that he really couldn't hardly see. And that's why you'll have other people writing and leaving the signatures in the scriptures. And maybe he was asking, God, I could do so much more if I could see. I could do so much more if my health was better. I could do so much more if you'd help my workers not to abandon me. And some of our folks in our church family today, I know they're, Lord, why did you do this? I could do so much more if you hadn't done it this way. And how many times does Paul reach out? This is an incredible step of faith. Because to me, I'm still asking the Lord why. But the Bible says Paul reached out to the Lord three times, and then in his faith, something really powerful happened. And I'm not saying that you need to reach out a certain number of times, but I'm saying for some of us, there may be a specific thing that the Lord eventually says, hey, I'm not taking this away. Did you catch that? That's hard truth, isn't it, right? It's a level of faith. It's a level of understanding. Lord, I'm reaching out to you. I need help in this area. And eventually what the Lord said to Saul, who is now Paul, he said, I'm not taking this one away. And I'm sure Paul's like, I can't handle this, right? I can't keep doing this. God, you got to intervene. You got to do something. Now I want to remind you a couple things this morning. God can easily put down someone as quickly as he exalts them, so we should glory in the Lord. And Paul was a godly man. And so I want to take this with you a little bit today, too. Rick did a really good job in our Sunday school lesson today. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are people in churches even today that said, if you have enough faith, everything's going to be fine. If you have enough faith, your life's going to be comfortable. If you have enough faith, you'll get a better car, you'll get a better house, you'll get a better spouse if you have enough faith. Right? Name it, claim it, call it out, believe it, the Lord will deliver it. You just need enough faith. And what do we see today in Hebrews chapter 11? Right? They were persecuted. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were left in holes and in caves. And what's the scripture say about them? The world was not worthy of them. Wow. Give that to your name it, claim it buddy the next time they're like, well, you just don't have enough faith. That's why you're going through a hard time. No, the scripture doesn't proclaim that at all, does it? Here's another example of it right here. Paul, incredible person of faith, so much so that he'd heal the sick and raise the dead, and yet God has said, I am not taking away this thorn. You are going to have it so that I can be glorified and you can be strengthened. So just a quick reminder, when people say those things, push them aside. Paul got both the blessings and the sufferings. Are you seeing that today? He got the revelation. He got the experience of being in the presence of the Lord, but he got the pain of the thorn. And I would say most of us here today are living in those things, aren't we, right? We have the blessings, but we have some of the suffering too. God knows what he is doing when he allows suffering in our lives. Can you hear that today? That's one of the hardest things I'm going to say to you today. You're like, no, I don't know that he does. I know it hurts. God knows what he is doing when he allows suffering in our lives. Oh, that's a hard truth. It is hard to trust this truth most of the time. We continually need to remind ourselves that this world is not the end. Rick, you should just preach this message. This is all Sunday school again, right? They were what? They were aliens. They were strangers. They were pilgrims. This world was not their home. Even when they died, they had not received what their faith had been looking for. They were yet to receive it, because what is to come is what they really are looking for. And our problem is we get so lost in what is here, and now we forget about what is to come. And in our suffering, physical suffering, mental suffering, relationship suffering, we think it's all about here and now, and we forget what is to come. And that's where faith has got to really kick in. And that's where it kicked in with Paul. And that's why we have to remind each other, too. It's not just about this place. That's where the Lord can really encourage us. Matthew Henry, this is a good quote from him. He says, sometimes Christ sees that we need sickness for the good of our souls more than healing for the good of our bodies. Whew. I don't want to be sick. I don't like it. But the Lord takes us through some of these things because he is shaping us inside out that we can be everything he would have us be for his name and, you know, your preacher's saying, for our joy. So let's look at the petition, verse 8 there. Three times, Paul says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Does God ever answer prayers for you? She's not here today, but on Wednesday night, Angel was sharing. And she had really been having a struggle, and she stepped out in faith in a big way, and God delivered in a big way. And I was like, boom, there's an answer to prayer right there. We could go around the room today and find so many different answers of prayer. Amen? I mean, in my own life, I've had prayers answered about my job or people about showing up at church, opportunities to minister. Just so many times God gives a yes, but sometimes, and this is what we know, sometimes God doesn't give the yes. Sometimes he turns down our petition. And I want you to see here that Paul's petition was turned down. And I want you to think about with me another person whose petition was turned down. You know where I'm going? The Son of God. God's own Son said, can you let this cup pass from me? You know how much the Lord loves you today? You know how much he knows your circumstance? You're like, I can't take this. Can you take it away? Can you do something else? This is too much. And Jesus says, I know what you're feeling. It's too much. And I went to my Father and I said, can you take it away? But he didn't. Why? For his glory and for Jesus' glory. He went through it. That's hard truth, isn't it, right? Man, that's hard. But I want you to know today, you're not alone. The Lord Jesus knows. He knows that feeling to ask, can you take it away? Jesus made that very request. So let's look at the solution. And boy, it's hard, but it is good. Look down with me, if you would, there in verse 9. But he, remember the same voice he heard on the Damascus Road, amen? But he said to me, what did he say to me? My grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. No, I don't think you got enough. Oh yeah, I got enough. If I could paint a picture for you today, what's your favorite ocean or sea? Any of you like to go diving off the diving board into a swimming pool? Wendy loves to go swimming. Right? As kids, I love to do cannonballs, boys. That's one of my favorite things. Can you imagine this old guy trying to do cannonballs, make a big splash he can make? We think that God's grace is a Holiday Inn Express swimming pool. And I would tell you that God's grace is the Pacific Ocean. It's more than enough. We think, oh, it's this limited supply, and I can only go so far, and I'm only going to get this much. And I would tell you that if you go to the Lord day after day after day, he says this same thing to you and me today. My grace is enough. And I need that message right now, because a lot of my friends are hurting. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know. And yet the Lord keeps reminding me, oh yes, my grace is enough. And then notice what he says right after that. For my power is made perfect in weakness. So therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. There may be a lot of things in this world that I don't get enough of, but God never runs out of grace. Look at this. It is equal to any task he asks of you and any day he blesses you with. Hear me today. There's grace for today. Here's my problem. I want grace for tomorrow and the next week and next year and until I'm 182. I want grace. But God says, what I have for you, his mercies are new how often? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. What's the Lord's prayer? Give us our what kind of bread? Our daily bread. When people were in the wilderness and they need manna, how much did they get? Enough for the day, right? God's grace is enough, and it's enough for any day that he blesses you with. God's strength displays itself best in our weakness. What happens is we like for God's grace to display itself best in our strength. Amen? Oh, man. Did you hear the preacher playing that guitar today? Wasn't he awesome? That God is good. He'd make a guy play the guitar like that. Oh, he was in our strength, right? Oh, look what he spoke. And I mean, people were moved. The altars were full. Oh, that preacher's so good. You know when God usually shows up in my life when I'm preaching? Is I drop the biggest bomb. It's the worst sermon ever. And somebody, God does something completely amazing in their life. And I'm like, okay, God, that was absolutely you. And it had nothing to do with me. And that's why he does it, right? Because when we're weak, he can be strong. And he gets the glory. And we learn what we should do. And that is to depend upon him. That's the whole point. It's a beautiful thing when God's strength is displayed in our weakness. Now today you may be finding yourself in a weak place or a hard space, and you may be confused, or you may not be understanding what God is doing. Anybody there? Your preacher's been there a little bit, all right? Other faithful people have been in this same place. Oh, man. I'm going to be careful here, but I'm going to pick on somebody just because I love them because they're so good, right? That Vicki McLean back there, she'd been in this place, one of the hardest spaces and places you could ever inhabit in the whole world. She lost a child. I can't imagine. And the fact that she gets up in the morning, she puts up with that guy sitting beside her, that she shows up at this place, that she hugs all you crazy people, she could only do that because of God's grace. And you may be in a space, in a place, and you're like, I'm never getting out of this. I can't. Vicki was there, amen? She was in that place like, I'm never getting out. There's no hope. There's no way out. And God made a path for her. But she had to trust him, but he made the path. And some of us are in that space right now. I'm like, I don't see the path. And what Vicki is so gently, she's never boastful about it, but what she so gently does is reminds us there's a path. The Lord's grace is enough, and he will hold you up. You're still going to have hard days. You're still going to have grieving days. You're still going to have struggle, but there is a path. And Vicki's not the only one. I could go through many people in this building and say similar things, okay? But she's such a great example, a powerful example of God's grace. God's promise to you is his grace is enough. And hear me, please. Oh, man, can you hear me today? I hate this. This verse has been so abused so many times. People will say, oh, God, he won't give you more than you can handle. Liar. Okay? The Bible says God will make a way out of temptation. It never says God won't give you more than you can handle. You cannot handle some of the things that you're facing. Can you hear that? I'm being as bold and as clear and just as I can be. Please don't go to in a funeral line when you're walking by someone who's in their intense grief at the moment and be like, well, just know God won't give you more than you can handle. If I hear you do that, I'm going to clock you. It's not right. What they can know eventually, what they can know, not in the middle of their grief, what they can eventually know is there is a way out of temptation and there's a path out. But God definitely gives us more than we can handle. You think Jesus, when he's there sweating drops of blood, God's like, oh, it's not a big deal. You'll be okay. No, it was horrible. It was terrible. It was way more than he could handle. But God says, I won't leave you alone. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you. And where there's temptation, I will give you a way out if you will grab hold of my hand. Okay? So be careful with these truths. Yes, God's grace is enough. But no, it doesn't mean you're not going to get more than you can handle. Hear the Lord hopefully speaking clear today. So let's look ultimately here at the resolution. The resolution, verse 10, very simply, this is ridiculous. That is why, for Christ's sake, for whose sake? For the Lord's sake, for his name, for his renown, for his glory, for Christ's sake, and I can't believe I'm saying this, I delight in what? And weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. But I think we missed that word again. Verse 10, for Christ's sake, I do. What's the verb right there? I what? No, right? Did you hear? No, that surely is mistranslated, isn't it? Paul says, I delight. Bring on the persecution. Bring on the insult. Bring on the hardship. Bring on the difficulty. Oh, how? Because in those things, I know that ultimately God is getting glory, people are being redeemed, and the ultimate goal, the treasures laid up in heaven, is immense, and I'm filled with great joy. Now, I'm not telling you to go out here today and just beg God for bad things to happen in your life, okay? But what I want you to see is Paul's transformation in the middle of the suffering, in the middle of the three requests for the thorn to be removed. It wasn't removed. And Paul's transformation was, okay, God, if you're leaving me with the thorn, you're going to go with me, and I'm going to delight even in the things that are hard because I know even in the hard things, you can do great things. That's a super huge amount of faith, isn't it, right? When I am weak, then I am strong. Physical affliction doesn't have to be a barrier to effective Christian service. Robert, if you're listening today, I'm talking to you. As we get older, it just gets harder, doesn't it, right? But I want you to hear the Lord today. As we get older, we think, God can't use me anymore. I used to could pound a sledgehammer. I used to could pour concrete. I used to could mow the grass. I used to could shovel the snow. I used to could clean and vacuum. Now I can't even walk. Let me read it again. Physical affliction doesn't have to be a barrier to effective Christian service. Can God still use you? You guys, if you'll get on your knees, even if you can't physically get on your knees, but get in your heart on your knees in prayer, you can change the world. You can change the power of this church, even if you are shut up somewhere. Paul did more for the glory of God in a jail cell, in house arrest, than he did being out and about. It's amazing how the Lord can work. Many Christians have served God when most people thought they had little to offer. Step out of the boat, trust in the Lord. All right, final illustration this morning is from Heather Kopp. When Heather Kopp arrived at rehab, she was a 40-something mom of two, but also a veteran of Christian publishing. She'd never been in jail or on the streets. She'd simply let a nightly glass of wine turn into two, which turned into a bottle, which eventually led to additional mini bottles hidden and secretly chugged in the bathrooms. And soon enough, every moment of her life revolved around her next chance to sneak away for a drink. Karen's story opens a window into the mind of a burgeoning alcoholic, but as she moved through her rehab and recovery phases into her struggle to understand God's presence amid her alcoholism, she arrives at a universal truth. Substance abuse is a physical manifestation of a spiritual addiction to sin. Can I read that again? Listen out. Substance abuse is a physical manifestation of a spiritual addiction to sin. And everyone, it turns out, is an addict. Your sin may not be alcohol, but we're all addicts to something. Tracking with that? But this isn't the story of how addiction led Karen to God or how God pulled her out of addiction. Instead, Karen's story is one of confronting the nature of sin and understanding more fully the necessity and the beauty of God's grace. Karen now reflects on her sobriety. She says, people think I just resist temptation over and over, and because I'm a good person or because I have all this willpower. Can you imagine? How do you explain to people that it's not anything like that? Recovery is a living example of the miracle of grace. When addiction removes the illusion of self-sufficiency, the addict must reach a point of surrender from which to accept grace without conditions and to have confidence that God really is in control no matter what. It's not self-sufficiency, people. You've been self-sufficient for a lot of your time, and when the grief hits, you're like, well, I've always taken care of it before, and now you're like, this is out of my control. I can't do this. Amen. You can't do it. You're not going to do it. The week after Easter, we're going to be starting a whole series on being stuck, and you're going to hear it over and over again. I'm going to keep saying to you, stop trying harder, because that's what we do, don't we, right? I'll just have more willpower. I'll just resist stronger. I'll just be better. Stop. Give it to God and say, I can't do it unless you come in and do a work in me. And that's what happens here when the addict makes their way out of their addiction through the grace of God. We have so many people facing so much in our church family right now. The only way to face the struggle is to trust in God's grace. And if you will, to surrender to it. In ourselves, we don't have the ability. But when we begin to recognize that our weakness is an opportunity for God to be amazing, we will begin find strength in the struggle. So here's my challenge, pretty simple one to you today. Let's be praying for one another that we will really learn to depend upon the Lord, especially when the times are One last time. Let's read the verse together there in verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest upon me. Amen. Let's stand this morning. We'll ask our musicians to come.